So this is Parshas Emor, El HaKoyanim Vayom Hashem El Moshe. God says to Moshe, Emor El HaKoyanim B'nei Aaron, say to the Koyanim, the sons of Aaron, V'yomar Toleim, say to them, L'nefesh Lo Yitamu Ba'amav, that a Koyan mustn't make himself tummy, that is, that he shouldn't go into a cemetery or go to a funeral or come in touch with the dead body. In doing so, he makes himself tamei lenefesh. So over the years we've been learning Ishbitz, and the Meir Shiloach talks about, brings the Medrash of the king that has a chief butler or chief butcher, the guy who's in charge of the barbecue, right? So the king says to him, you, I don't want you to have anything to do with death. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says to the Kohanim, you are in charge of my party, you're the ones who organize all the happy events, so I don't want you to come in touch with death. So the king doesn't mind if his chancellor of the exchequer goes to a funeral, but the guy who's in charge of making the parties, he has to stay away, he has to stay happy. So in the Meir Shiloach we talked about the idea of death, that death is the ultimate question. That death raises the questions, and there's a Medrash that says when Esav saw the death of Avraham, he says, "In poga misa bezu leis din veleis dain." If death can touch my Zayda Avraham, then there can't be any justice, there can't be any judge. Yotzel etar b'sro, and that's when Esav threw off the yoke of being a mensch. What's the point of being a mensch? If death can happen to Avram Avinu, then what is it? So the idea of Tumas Meis, we were learning in Meir Shiloach all these years, is the idea that we get touched by this question of what is reality and what's the point? And then we were learning in Parshas Chukas the idea of the red heifer, the Pora Adumo, that it can be Metame Tohorim and Metahe Tmeim, that somebody who's been touched by death can be given a new lease on life and happiness and optimism by realizing that there really is no such thing as a death, and that death is one of those illusions. And so we're given this, the symbol of the red heifer, the red cow, which symbolizes life in its purest form, and you can reduce it to its elements, you can burn it down to, you know, the basic elements from which it's made until it's turned into ash that you can just sprinkle on water, and it's still as full of life as it was when it was jumping around eating grass. However, it's metame tohorim, meaning it can make you, the person who actually, the Kohen who deals with it and takes away the death residue from somebody, himself becomes touched by it, because if you don't have the question, if you're not asking what's the meaning of life, then nobody needs to bring it up. So if somebody is full of optimism, and then we give this whole Torah about how death is just an illusion, so like, what did you need to tell me that for? So that was the Ishbitz of Torah and the Meir Shiloach. But the Beis Yaakov, the children of the Ishbitz, the Einiklach, they take this and they just keep working this theme, this motif. So this week I thought we would learn a little bit of the Radzina, the Sodi Shurim. He brings the first pasuk, Vayom Hashem al Moshe, Emo el HaKoyanim, And then he brings the posuk in Tehillim, Morav tuvcho asher tzufanto lireyecho. What is this great goodness that you've hidden for those who fear you? And he brings the Zohar in this week's Sedra, who says, Don nehoiru kadmo'o. You know what it is? You know what the goodness is that God hid for those who fear him? This is the original light. So, there's a well-known Torah. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and it was dark. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So, why doesn't it just say, and it was so? God said, let there be light, and it was so. So the Chachamim say, what it means is that the light that God made, he immediately hid away. Because with this light that God originally made, you could see from one end of the world to the other, and it wasn't different. There are different midrashim about it, but basically the wicked weren't entitled to see this light, to use this light, to be bathed in this light, and so God put it away. Letzadikim laosid lovoy. For the tzadikim who are going to come in the future, they can use this light, but the world doesn't see it. Instead, we have the light that we are using today, the sunlight. It's really just a ball of burning gas. The sun is just burning hydrogen. It's just fire. There's a big difference between Ma'oire Oir and Ma'oire Ho'esh. The light which comes from fire has a very small chemical spectrum. The light which comes from light covers the entire spectrum. And the things that you can see with it are quite different than those that we see. So the Radzina says, the command, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Oir, God said, let there be light, that command didn't go away. That command exists for all eternity. There's constantly the new light coming into being. What God has done is he's changed the way that we look at things. We no longer see. We no longer are capable of being aware that every moment there is, God is saying, let there be light. And of course, light, we don't just mean, you know, like turning on the light switch, but rather the flow, the shefa, the abundance of goodness that flows into the world, that is what is happening all the time, because God said, let there be light. It goes forever. It didn't just happen once, which in itself is a very interesting idea, that the original command is a continuous one. The result of the command being continuous is that it doesn't matter how far away things are from the source, they're still being filled all the time with that original good light. What is it that the wicked aren't allowed to see? They're not allowed to see how full of that light they are. What's the danger? If the wicked person could see, could be aware, could become conscious of how precious he is to God, and how much desire God has for him, even when he's doing the most wicked thing, there would be a breakdown. And in fact, the idea of the original inhabitants of Earth being aware of how much God loves them and wants them, that it led to some very strange philosophy. Instead, what does God do? He hides it, which is to say that God hides from us how much he needs us, how much he wants us, so much so that the next generation of creatures on earth said, Mo shakai kinavdenu. What's the point in worshipping God? Who is God that we should serve him? God doesn't have any connection to us. God doesn't need us. God doesn't want us. So we can veer between these two ends of the spectrum. On the one hand, we can be aware of how much God desires us. On the other hand, we can be so much in the dark about how God desires us that we can't even imagine that God would take pleasure or have any nachas, get anything, any satisfaction out of anything that we do, whether we're doing it as an act of worship in love of God, or whether we just do something for somebody else as a favor. And this hiding of God, this is really the main problem with the world. That there doesn't seem to be anywhere between these two extremes a middle ground. And the Radzina says the purpose of the Jewish people, the purpose of Yisrael, is to make the connections and bridge the gap and manifest in our job is to feel and to see and to be aware and to act and to live in such a way that we take away the darkness and we illuminate the desire of God in the world. Which is to say that last week we were talking about birurin. The Ishbitz talks about levarer and to do birurin, which all the years we've looked at different translations of that word. Last week we were saying that it means to become transparent. Which is to say that I'm a human being, but if I do something really a mitzvah the way it's supposed to be done, then when you look at me doing that mitzvah, you see through me and past me, and you see God. Because either you see the rotzon, you see the will of God, you see the command of God, you see that somebody's standing in the presence of God, you see somebody in relationship with God, whatever it is, it becomes real to you, the onlooker. And so then my avoider is mevura, then whatever it is that I'm doing is transparent. We talked about those things that the tribes did, that sometimes they needed birurin, meaning that the onlooker looks at that person doing that thing and says, you're doing a sin. And the person says, I'm doing a mitzvah. So how could you think that I'm doing a sin? Obviously there was something in the action that I was doing that wasn't transparent to God. That there was something opaque, something of me was in that act, or too much of me was in that act, that you looking at me, you could only see me, you couldn't see the God inside the act. So the point this week is to look at the meaning of the Jewish people, or what the purpose of the Jewish people is, that when the world looks at us, they can see God, which is to say they can see the desire of God inside every human being. When we say to see the desire of God inside every human being, it works both ways, both the desire that the human has for God and the desire that God has for that human being. The trouble is that wherever God puts the light, when God says Yihi Oyer, that Yihi Oyer is always there. It's let there be light is constant in the universe. So the flow of God's command that there be newness and freshness and creativity and goodness flowing into the world, that's happening all the time. That's happening inside every atom in the universe. It's being filled with light all the time. The levush, the garment that hides that, we opened up with a verse from Psalms, Morav Tuvcho Shetzufanto Lireyecho, how great is this goodness that you have hidden. That, the Zohar says, that's the light that we were talking about, which is hidden. And the garment that it's hidden in is always the exact opposite of the light. So if the light is a light of love, then it will be hidden inside a garment of hate. If the light is a light of connection, of sexuality, then it will be hidden inside a garment of machlokes, of dispute, of sundering apart. If the light is a light of creating and building, then it will be hidden in a garment of destruction. Which means that if you take a wicked person and you look inside that wicked person, the wickedness is hiding the light in exact mirror image. And so we have a pasuk, we have a verse in Job, Vayimona mirishoim oiram, and he withholds from the wicked their light. Not that God withholds from the wicked his light, but v'yimona mirishoim oiram, he withholds their own light. Because if a person is doing something wicked, and at the same time that he's doing something wicked, he's aware of his own light, meaning to say, the power that God is giving him at that very moment, the goodness and the creativity that's flowing into him, that would be a real downer. That would be the ultimate desecration of that light. If a person realizes his light, and that lifts him up out of his wickedness. If a person is in despair and he realizes how much God loves him and desires him and how much of the flow that's coming from the creation of the world is in him in that moment, that can be a source of renewal. A person can say, you know what, if God loves me so much and I'm really that precious, then my self-image is an illusion. My self-esteem, all my problems are just an illusion. That can be really helpful. But the Chachamim tell us that when God created the world, he could see there was a flip side to that, which is that a person can say to himself, you know what, God really needs me. God really, I can tell from the way God desires me, if we could only feel that Yihi Oyer, that let there be light inside the self, a person could very easily say to himself, you know what? God can't live without me. That's how powerful that desire is. If I could feel for one moment even how much God wants me, then I would be telling myself, you know what? I can do what I like because God can't live without me. And down that road is, you know, just disaster. So the Radzina says the Jewish people have been given the worship of God, and the main vehicle, the destination, the path of the worship of God is that we be able to get in touch with God's desire for us, even though it's so powerfully hidden. That when we worship God, that the world looks at us and says, yes, this is what God wants. However, not that God needs, but that the world looks at us and says, you know what? The Jewish people are the keli, are the kli melachta. The Jewish people are the tool of God. And there, as a tool, God uses us, and the way that we make ourselves into a tool is through our worship. And in doing so, we bridge the gap between God needing us and God not caring. In doing that, we bring the light that is in the levush, that is in the garment. We take that desire that God has for us, which is then turned into that cloak of the opposite, and we do something to the garment itself, that we break it open, that you can peer through the shell and see the desire inside. So our job is not, through our worship of God, to make it clear that God can't do without our worship. The Radzinus is really important to know that that's not the purpose. Our job is just that when people look at things and people look at people, that there's no person on earth that isn't full of the light of God and the desire. And our job in the world is to bring out that light in everything. So even the wicked person, we can look at that wicked person and say, I can see into that person and what they're about and how God is manifest in that person. But again, he says, it's important not to take it so far that I show how God can't do without that person. Then if I try and go that far, I've gone too far. And the main job of the Kohen, the job of the priest, is if I do a sin, if I transgress, I do something bad, I can come to the Kohen, I can come to the priest and to the temple, and he can help me see how even in the sin I was connected to God, to the desire, to the will of God. And that is the purpose of the Kohen. That's the purpose of the priesthood, is to serve the Jewish people in those moments when we really feel disconnected, when we really feel we've done something so bad that, you know, that can't really have been the will of God. How could God have desired such? And I was on my own. If I'm on my own, then the flow isn't in me anymore. Then I'm away. I'm cut off. So the Kohen's job is to show me in the chet itself how the ches and the tes are just an arrow that's missed its mark, and how silent there is the Aleph, the one, is there completely silent, but there in the chet. And in doing so, the Kohen was able to show me how even in the moment when I was doing that sin, there was that original command of Yihi Or, let there be light, was flowing into me, and was, had it not been flowing into me, I would have been dead. So however far that I was, that I think that there was no hope, in fact there was something inside that act that had light. In this is called to touch death. To touch death means that I touch something that can't be fixed. The idea of death is, who prays for a dead person, right? We don't pray for a dead person to come back to life. Once somebody, I mean, you pray for a living person, doesn't matter how ill they are, and they could be like taking their last gasps, and we say, no, we keep praying, we keep saying Tehillim, we say Mishaberach, so somebody's dead. We don't say Mishaberach for somebody's dead, right? It's like they're gone. So there are some acts that we don't go there. And in the Medrash Tanchuma says, Ki be yodai nefesh kol chai, there's a pasuk that says, in his hands are the souls of all the living. So where are the souls of the dead? The souls of the dead are in the oitzar. They're in the vault. The way we think of life and death is that when we're alive, we so to speak, like on the palm of God's hand. But when we're dead, we're away. We're put back in the closet. And the truth is that there's no difference between the dead and the living. There's no difference in our relationship to God whether we're alive or we're dead. The idea that somehow when we're alive we're in God's, the palm of his hand, and when we're not he's put us in the closet, that's nonsense. And yet that's how we live, because that's the way we feel, that something that has died is died. So there are certain acts that are like that. And there the Torah says to the Kohen, don't go there. When you try and connect the person with the life force that's inside them, there's a certain limit to where you can go. Lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav. So the Radzina has this different reading from the Ishvitz, in that he's saying that there's a place where even the Kohen, whose job it is to show us how we're connected, there's a place that he's not supposed to go. And the Radzina says, but a Yisrael, a Kohen's not allowed to go. But a Yisrael, a regular Jew who's not a Kohen, you're allowed to make yourself tummy. Because the truth is, there have been plenty of tzaddikim in history who prayed for the dead and brought them back to life. The Tanakh is full of such stories. Somebody's dead, Elisha comes, and he brings the child back to life. Why? Because the Bechina of Yisrael is higher than the Bechina of a Kohen. And this is a very sweet Ishbitz, a very sweet Radzina Torah. He says, Omnam Yisroel mutu letamois lemes kiv shoyrish Yisroel hu mu'ule u menusa memidus Kohen. So, a Jew is allowed to become tamei for mace, meaning you're allowed to go looking for the light even in that place where you would be sure that there cannot be any light. Somebody has done something, you yourself have done something that it's a bad thing. some things are bad, right? So I look at this thing, and because I'm a Jew, and Yisroel olu b'machashovo, and we are there in the original thought, which means 2,000 years before the creation of the world, which the Radzina says, Alpaim shona koidim shenivra ha'olam hainu shtei tefisos. There are two levels of grasp of reality higher than that of the Kohen. At that level, there's a tikkun even to those things that can't, through the avoider that God has given us, have light shed on them. Right? So we were saying a little while ago that the job of the Jewish people is to bridge the gap between that awareness of how necessary we are to God, to that awareness of God doesn't care and we are meaningless, that the union of the avoider, the worship of God, is to bridge that gap, to bring the light a little bit out of that place. That avoider, wherever we're talking avoider, worship, then we're referring to the Kohen in us, the priesthood. And the priesthood is limited to how far it can go in bringing the light from that dark place. But if you're not coming as a Kohen, but you're coming as just a Jew, then you can go even much further into the dark place and shed the light of Yihi Oyer, of God saying, let there be light in this place. Let there be freshness and creativity and desire and goodness flowing into this place. And you can do that because you are a Jew. And so he brings the pasuk that says, Vigam mehagerim v'hatoshovim ekach mehem lekohanim ulelevim. I forgot to check what the source of that, whether that's a pasuk in Yecheskel or Yeshaya. Even from them, talking about in the future when Mashiach has come, mehagerim v'hatoshovim, from the strangers and the converts, whatever, ekach mehem lekohanim v'lalvim, I will take priests and Levites. And of course the whole world asks, how can a Kohen come from a family of converts? A Kohen can't come. He says, because every soul, when it is in the worship of God, it is that level and can reach that level called Kohen, which is to show how in the sin there was some light. But it doesn't say that from the Gerim and the Toshovim I will take Yidden, from the strangers and the converts I will take Yisroel. That it doesn't say. Kohanim ya, Levim ya, Yisroel, no. Why? Because Yisroel is so high, it's at that level of Olah b'machashova, it's arose in the thought before the creation of the world, thousands of years of God before the creation of the world. Which is another way of saying that in reference or in respect, in connection with that part of us which is Yisroel, even death is a meaningless concept. So, then what is it that the Jew can do that the Kohen can't do? So the Radzina brings a Zohar. The Zohar talks about there are three voices that go out into the world and they never stop. When a person's soul departs, the soul departs and it goes into the other world. But there are three voices that go into the world that just keep reverberating in the world. One of them is an animal. I'm not sure whether it means when it's being skinned or what. The other one is a serpent when it's shedding its skin, and the other one is a a human being when it's dying. There are voices that come out of these three creatures at that moment, which don't go anywhere, just continue reverberating in the world. And the Zohar Kodesh talks about how the magicians and soothsayers and sorcerers, they can find where these voices are, and they attach themselves to those voices, and they listen, and with this is how they do their sorcery and their magic, Oy V'yidoni. And the Zohar Kodesh says that Techias HaMesin, the resurrection of the dead, comes from... The Zohar Kodesh talks about the components when a person is dying, and the voice, and the voice as the soul leaves their body groans, and that voice is made up of spirit and soul, and havle de garme de mishtoe etz boine, and regret. There's a like the hollows in the bones, the air in the bones that is combined with a person's regret. The Radzin explains it to me that at the moment we die, we have to let go of those things that we were trying to fix but we couldn't. And even people who waste their life, comes the time of dying, then we think about, oi, what didn't I fix? And that regret that we have about not being fixed and not finishing the jobs that we're supposed to do, all of a sudden as we're dying, that groan goes out in the world. It has nowhere to go. And that Techias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead, is when God takes that groan, that havle de garme de etzpune de nafshe, and he reassembles it into the body using due tal of Techias HaMesim, and then there's a resurrection of the dead. Right? And he brings the pasuk in Yecheskel. God says, Vidatem ki ani Hashem, you'll know that I'm God, beposchias kivroi seichem, when I open up your graves. The opening up of the graves, the Zohar Kodesh says, is connected to the regret that we have, which is in the Havle de Garme, which is in that voice, that groaning that we do when we, the moment that we die, that groan doesn't have anywhere to go. It can't go with the soul, because it's connected to those parts of life or whatever it is that we didn't fix, and it's stuck in this world. And it's that stuckness, it's that regret that God uses for Techias HaMesim, for the resurrection of the dead, which is another metaphor, it's another way of saying that inside what we've done that we can't fix, right inside that avera, that sin, or that mistake, or that blunder, or even you go further and say, inside that one part of the self which never gets rehabilitated, inside that nefesh adam, that part of a person which doesn't get better, which stays nebuch stuck in the disease or in the evil or in the self-centeredness, that regret which never leaves the world, which continues to reverberate in that groan that a person groans at the moment that they die, that's where Techias HaMesim is. That's where the resurrection of the dead, that is where God, because the resurrection of the dead is without Isairusa de Lesata, there's nothing. You know, a person who dies doesn't have anything that you can wake them up with, right? Like a person who's asleep, that Gemara says, they have kusta de chayusa, kista de chayusa. They have a little something inside them that you can kick and nudge, and that wakes that person up from their sleep. Even though sleep is a little bit like death, but there's still something inside that you can prod and wake that person up. But somebody who's dead, there's nothing there to prod. There can be no isarusa dulasata. There's no awakening from below. So the awakening comes from above. But what is the awakening from above? What is the resurrection of the dead? What is it that God reawakens, requickens, puts the life back into that thing that was full of regret, that never managed to get fixed? So there's where the life is, right? There's where the Yihi Oir. Yimonim Rishoim Oiram, and God withholds from the wicked their own light. If we were able to go into that place, even which is so dark that we're much afraid to look at because we feel like it's irredeemable, and then we would be able to see. Then we would be able to see that the Yihi Oir is there, that the command, let there be light and goodness and shefa and toiva, it's all hidden inside that thing. Shkoyach.